Chapter 10 is our scripture, and in John chapter 10 we will begin reading in just a moment. If you would, please, everybody, read from a copy of the Word of God the words that Jesus spoke here. We're actually going to be covering the entire chapter, though I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I told you that the message today is "The Shepherd Speaks." That's simply the title. He speaks. I want to hear what he's got to say. He speaks words, truth. He speaks words of life. He speaks words that are filled with truth. Let's read what he said. John 10 and verse number 1. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let's stop right there for a moment. You actually have to read the previous chapters to see that Jesus is dealing with the religious crowd. And here Jesus spoke in a parable. He spoke in a manner of speaking. He gives a story that they're all familiar with. But did you see what it says there? They didn't understand what he was saying. The Son of God speaking in your presence, and you don't understand what he's saying? That's a travesty. That is tragic. Well, let's continue to read. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now look carefully, verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews. Why? Because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Here we see the shepherd speaks. Verse number 1 says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." Then down there in verse number 7, Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." Jesus caused division because some people, hearing His words, would not receive them, would not believe them. And they did everything they could to sway the public opinion away from Him. The shepherd speaks. He speaks plainly. He speaks clearly. And He says, "If you're one of My sheep, you hear Me." Those that say, "We don't believe Him," or "We don't understand what He's saying," that's because you're not one of My sheep. My sheep hear My voice and follow Me. Can I ask you this morning, do you belong to the shepherd? Do you hear His voice? Amen. Do you follow Him? Today in our scripture, we're going to look at several things that Jesus talks about. Jesus speaks and says about several different subjects. So track with me, follow with me as I point out these scriptures. Like I said, there's other scriptures that we did not read in this context. But let's begin where Jesus began here. Jesus starts off talking about the imposter. The imposters. The false shepherds. The imposters. Ones that make like they are the shepherds. Now remember, He's talking the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious crowd who claim to be the shepherds of Israel are listening. They're in the audience. That's why they're getting hopping mad. They're upset that Jesus is talking about them and they don't like it. In fact, all throughout the New Testament, Jesus had His most trouble with religious people. Religious people that don't know God are the most demonic types of people you'll ever deal with. Now, I didn't say they were demon-possessed. I said they are demonic, influenced by demonic entities. The worst form of badness is human goodness when human goodness is a substitute for the new birth. And religious people say, "I don't need to get born again. I'm a good person. I'm a religious person. I'm a Pharisee. I'm a Sadducee. Don't you see the clothing that I wear? I wear the clothing of the righteous. I speak like righteous people. I have prestige in people. Know that I have reputation." And Jesus just cut them right down to the root. There are people in our society, in religious circles, that need to be cut right down to the root because they are liars, they are deceivers, they are imposters. That's what Jesus says right here. He talks about these imposters in verses 1 down to verse number 5. And they didn't get it. They said, we don't understand this. So he makes it more clear to them, starting in verses 7 on down. Notice what he says about these imposters, these false shepherds, these false leaders. He says they have another way. They have another way of getting into the sheepfold. Isn't that what he says there in verse number 1? They don't enter the sheepfold like you're supposed to do. You go through the door. And Jesus made it clear. He says, I am the door. But no, they climb up another way. Jesus said that person is dangerous. Anybody that ever tells you there's another way to God except through Jesus, the door, that person is anti-Christ. I didn't say they are the Antichrist, but according to 1 John, they have an Antichrist spirit about them. They are going against what God said about His only begotten Son. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. He is the door. Is that not plain? Verse number 9, I am the door. Anybody enters by me, he will be saved. So he says, these people, they're imposters. They have another way that they talk about. True sheep won't follow the imposters. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, but these, they won't listen to the stranger, these imposters. Just something about what they say doesn't ring true to one of God's sheep. They don't know, these imposters don't know the voice of God. I mean, right there in their presence, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, was speaking to them in audible voice, and they rejected Him. They have an agenda. What is their agenda? Does he not plainly tell us down there in verse number 10 what the thief or the imposter's agenda is? A lot of times we'll say that's talking about the devil. And yes, that does apply to the devil, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about those that go another way or have another way to God except Jesus Christ. He says in verse number 10, the thief comes only to do three things. Here's their agenda: to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Now, yes, the devil does that. But the devil's emissaries also want to do that to the sheep. Steal, kill, destroy. Now, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus said, I come that they might have life. I even lay down my life for the sheep. But not these imposters. They're hirelings. They don't own the sheep. So they abuse the sheep. They want to get out from the sheep what they can. They steal from them. They kill them. And they want to destroy them. Oh, many of you, you have seen so clearly what the devil did to you before you got saved. Some of you that in your lives of addiction, your lives of sin, your lives of brokenness, what did he ever do for you? He didn't do anything but steal from you, stole part of your life from you, stole maybe your youth from you, stole your purity from you, stole your relationships from you, stole family from you. Praise God for His grace that He brought you to Himself, and now He's not able to kill you
like he wanted to, nor to destroy your soul eternally in hell. Praise God for his intervention. Praise God that he came to you when you didn't even want to come to him. Praise the Lord for his grace. Well, Jesus starts off talking about the imposter, the false. Notice how now he contrasts. Next, he talks about the true shepherd. The true shepherd. Now, verses 1 through 13. He is the true shepherd. He is speaking in the first person, talking about himself. He says many things about himself that we read and I've already alluded to. He is the door. He lays down his life for the sheep. When the wolf comes, he puts his life in danger. Not like the hireling who has no investment. He's just working by the hour. He said, I ain't staying here and putting my life in danger. I'm just working by the hour, and they take off. But Jesus is with us to the end. Jesus lays down his life. He is the true shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Look at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. There's much we could say about the true shepherd. But let me move on. As we listen more about what Jesus is saying in these verses of chapter number 10. The shepherd speaks, number 3, he speaks about his own sheep. He identifies, he says, I have my own sheep, which implies there are others that are not my sheep. Now look at, he says it in verse 3, he says it in verse 4, he says it in verse 14, he says it in verse 27, he says it in verse number 29. He talks about my sheep. See verse number 3? In the middle of the verse, he calls his own sheep by name. Verse number 4, when he has brought out all his own, that's his own sheep. Look down there in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Look at verse number 27. My sheep hear my voice. Look at verse 29. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them, my sheep, out of the Father's hand. There's other references, but we'll move from there. He's talking about there are sheep that are his sheep. They have a personal relationship with him, as opposed to other sheep that do not have a personal relationship with him. Actually, the Bible puts it in other terms. Even though these religious people, the Pharisees and Sadducees, said that they were God's sheep, they were sheep of God's pasture, they were Jews, they were sheep of God's pasture, but actually the Bible says that these disbelieving, unbelieving Jews were not sheep, but goats. Goats. You know, maybe even in a congregation this size this morning, there are sheep and there are goats. I used to be a goat. I wasn't a sheep. When God saved me, he made me a new person. He made me something different. You know, goats, they'll eat about anything. You know, goats are a whole lot different than sheep. They have different temperament. They have different habits. And the Bible even talks about the judgment one day, that the goats will be on one side and the sheep will be on the other. And the goats are the ones that are lost. If you ask yourself the question, what am I? Am I one of His sheep? Has God saved me, birthed me, regenerated me, made me one of His own? And I hear Him now, and I listen to Him now, and I follow Him now.
Let's move on to the fourth thing. And I want you to see, the shepherd here speaks about his death. Not just his death, but his death for his own. His death for his own.
Look there at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the goats. Is that what it says? Who does he lay down his life for?
His sheep.
You say, Brother Rodney, you just got through saying that you used to be a goat. He didn't die for you?
Oh, yes, he died for me.
There is a teaching in our world today called universalism. Do you know what universalism is? It's insidious. It's a lie of the devil. It is the teaching that Jesus died for the sin of every human being and paid every debt of every sinner. And if that's true, then every sinner, every person is saved. You say, now, Brother Rodney, what exactly are you saying? I'm saying what the Bible says. God is a God of justice. God is a God that if the payment for every person's sin has been paid for, God cannot send anybody to hell. If their sin has been paid for, you say, no, but what, Brother Rodney? They've got to accept it. Oh, no, friend. Judgment and justice, even in our court system, double jeopardy. You cannot charge someone or make someone pay a penalty if it's already been paid, even if it was paid by an innocent person. You cannot judge it but one time. Now, the Bible very clearly states that Jesus died. He came as a sacrifice for the world. And that word world means that He came and He died for mankind in general. But the payment for every person on the planet was not for their sin. Look, if you will, not only there at verse number 11, look at verse number 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for everybody. Who does He lay down His life for?
Sheep.
My sheep. Those who are my sheep. Look at verse number 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Here he's talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about those that the Jewish nation says, they're Gentiles, they're heathen, they'll not be saved. We are God's people. But Jesus is saying no to these religious Jews. I have other sheep that are not of this fold, the Jewish fold. I must bring them also. and they will listen to my voice. Sounds like what he's saying there is that I'm going to bring them also, and they're going to listen to my voice, though they've not yet been saved. So that there will be how many flocks? One flock and one shepherd. That's where God took Gentile and Jew and made them into one flock. One shepherd is over them. Jesus made payment for his sheep. Notice the next thing here that Jesus gives. Words about his authority. Here again, this is referring to his death. Verses number 18 and 19. You might think that Jesus just happened to got done wrong down here on the earth, that Jesus tried to do something successful, but they wound up killing him. No, that was the plan from before the beginning of the world. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And it says here that no one takes it from me, talking about my life. He's referring back to verse 17, I lay down my life. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. What do we see here? We see that Jesus has power to die, lay down his life. Jesus even could determine the exact moment that he died. He gave up the ghost. He said, Father, in thy hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He died. Because he had that authority. And before he died, he told everybody, his disciples, he told them, I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to take it up again. No question about that. He had that power. He had that authority to do that. So Jesus is talking to us. He's talked to us about who the imposter is. He's talked to us about who the true shepherd is. He speaks about his own sheep. He speaks about his death for his own sheep. He speaks about his authority. But I want you to notice number 6. He talks about who's in and who's out. I want you to look at verse number 25 through 27. Who's in my fold, who's in my flock, and who is not in my fold, in my flock. Verse number 25. Jesus answered them. Well, let me back up. Verse number 22. This is another situation right after he was talking in the earlier portion of Scripture. About that time, the Feast of the Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple. Verse number 24 says the Jews gathered around him and said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, good night. How many times has he done told them plainly, and they wouldn't listen? It wasn't a matter that he hadn't already told them. They would not listen. They would not believe. So he says there in verse 25, I told you, you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me, but you do not believe. Why? Look at verse number 26. You do not believe. Why? Because you are not part of my flock. Did not Jesus freely offer himself to all men? Does not Jesus freely offer himself to all men? Whoever will come, whoever will believe, whoever will receive. But those that say, I will not believe, I will not receive. He's saying the reason why you're not of my flock is because you will not believe, you will not receive. You're not part of my flock. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. How do you know who's in his flock and who's out of his flock? Well, look at them sheep up there. Look at those sheep. What direction are they going? They're following the shepherd. They're going in the same direction that he is going. They listen to him. They follow him. Am I saying, Brother Ron, are you saying that if we have ever been disobedient and we've not listened to him or not followed him, that means we're not one of his sheep? No, friend. No, friend. Every one of us, we have been disobedient. We have all strayed. But that is not a way of life for us that belong to him. We listen to our shepherd and we follow him. And when we don't, he chastens us. He corrects us. He brings us in line because we're his. He doesn't let you just go off and do what you want to do. You're his. Now, that's who is in his flock. You might be here this morning and unsaved, and you say, I'm not in his flock. But I bring the claims of Christ to you that whosoever will may come. You may come. Jesus makes that invitation open to all who will come unto me. And you say, that's me. I'm going to believe him. I'm going to put my faith and trust in him. You see there, dear friend, you're in. You believe upon him, you become one of his sheep. But how do you know those who are not? Well, look up there at those sheep that are going in the opposite direction, going after the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's who's in down at the bottom. That's who's out, those at the top. Which way are you going? Did you know that the very basic word, repent, you know what that means? I'm going in the wrong direction. But Jesus says to repent. That means to turn. I turn my back on my way. I turn my back on my sin. I turn my back on the world, the flesh, and the devil. And now I follow my shepherd. I believe upon my shepherd. He lays down his life for me. He dies for me. I believe him, and now I follow him. The pivot point is repent. To turn from the way that I was going to a different way. There's one more thing, and it's the goodest thing. Don't you like to eat some kind of little treat and you like to get down to the goody part of it? That's what we used to call it. Get down to the goody, or get down to the nut, or get down to the gooey, or the best part of it. Well, here's the goody. Jesus speaks about eternal life. Does that interest anybody?
Amen.
Eternal life. What kind of life? Eternal. Is that the same thing as temporary life? Is that the same thing as probationary life? You know, you get put on probation. And if you do right, stay right, keep the rules, then you'll make it. That's not the kind of life that he gives us. Look down there, if you will, at verse number 28. I give them what? Eternal life. And they will, what's that next word? Never. They will never what?
Perish.
and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. We that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we who have believed upon Him, we who have listened to His call and received Him, believed upon Him, we follow Him. We're His sheep. He says, I give you eternal life. Did we earn eternal life? No, He says, I give it to you. You didn't earn it. Nothing you can do to earn eternal life. It's grace. It's a free gift. God didn't give it to you because He saw anything good in you. He gave it to you by His grace. Eternal life. When do I get eternal life? You say, you get it when you die. No. No. When do you get eternal life? God saves you. He gives it to you at that moment. And from that moment on, can you not have eternal life? Which means if you don't have it anymore, you're going to perish. According to Jesus, what did Jesus say right here? He says, I give them eternal life and they will never. That means under any circumstance. You mean, preacher, a saved person can do some bad things? Yeah. We've got examples in the Bible of saved children of God who did some bad things. And did God take away eternal life and say, you didn't keep all the rules? No. He didn't give you eternal life because you was keeping any rules. He gave it to you by grace, a free gift, and He doesn't take it away from you. He cannot take away what is claimed to be eternal. Because if He took it away, you would not have eternal life anymore. Now here's the goody part. Not only do we get eternal life, and we will never perish, but what does the last part of verse 28 say? And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Where are you and I that know Jesus? We're in His hand. Can't nobody get to us. But there's more. The very next verse, verse number 29, Jesus said, my Father who has given them to me. You see, God says, Jesus said that you and I who are saved, we are a gift to Jesus. The Father gave us as a gift to Jesus. We are His sheep and we're placed in Jesus' hand. But verse 29 says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. So we're in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. And you know what that's called? That's called eternal security of the believer. If I had to keep myself saved, and if we had to keep ourselves saved, I'd be talking this morning to a congregation of all lost people. Because nobody can keep themselves saved. We're in the hands of the One who died for us. And He's in the hand of the One who sent His only begotten Son. We are secure in Him. Now, isn't this enlightening? What the shepherd had to say in John chapter 10. Now the question is this. Are you going to believe it? No doubt there'll be somebody in this congregation that says, no, not me. Maybe one day, but no, I don't believe it. Friend, that's your prerogative. But let's rejoice today in the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for your church. You said there in Ephesians chapter 5 that you gave yourself for the church. A purchased possession was accomplished on the cross. You died for those who belong to you. Oh God, I pray today for every person sitting in this auditorium that does not know you at this moment. I pray that they hear the shepherd call and that they will believe and receive.